All right, welcome to another episode of the Couch Coaches Podcast, where we talk about everything going on in the world of sports. And last night in the NBA was a doozy. The Knicks ending just kind of came out of nowhere, which was a fantastic ending. If you're, I mean, whether or not whoever you're going for, that was great. The Lakers came out last night and were absolutely just, they were all over it. LeBron, AD, everybody, they're disrupting Denver. They're doing everything. And then they weren't. And I believe, so the text thread we had last night, one of the quotes was, don't panic because LA isn't Philly. So that didn't really work out at all. And
who posted that? Who posted that? Dick and Hill?
I wish it was one of the
LA fans. Who would say something early in the game?
I wish it was one of the LA fans, man. I wish it was one of them because it would have been even better. But
it was Bill. It was Bill. Let's get it out there. It was Bill. Let's get it out there.
So I'm not a Lakers hater. I just like talking crap. Like I grew up like with Kobe and Shaq and stuff, and the Warriors weren't very good at the time. I don't hate the Lakers, but it is funny to talk crap. And last night with how well you guys were playing up until the end was just, it blew my mind. Brother House, you said you went to, you woke up as angry as you went to bed. So I'm going to start with you. Just give me your, just what, just, I'll just leave the floor wide open, man. What's going on? How are you feeling?
So I was very disappointed. I mean, the deal of it is you had a 20-point lead and you blew it. And that was irritating. Some of that boils down to coaching. I mean, because me as a coach, I would have told my players, hey, we're just going to shoot two-pointers. Drive the ball, take the ball to the hole from here on out. You know, trade off two. Because Denver was already having a bad three-point shooting night. You know, so they wasn't gonna come back on the threes. They would come back off us missing shots. And that's what happened. We missed a lot of shots. They took advantage of it, and they at halftime they pulled in within 10, you know. And then we, you know, battle back and forth, and then at the end, you know, we just getting a quality off the backboard shot, and making sure it went in. We missed it, and then we slacked on defense, and Murray finally showed up and hit the shot. I mean, that's just the way it went down. I think the coach needs to reevaluate himself because the players played the game. You know, they were tired. You know, maybe he should have substituted some or a little bit earlier. You know, I think it boiled down to a lot of the other coaching aspects.
All right, Deacon Hill.
Yeah, I agree with Brother House on the coaching aspect, but there was like three key points in that game. AD was balling. He was balling. He had confidence on offense. He had confidence on defense. One of the turning points was when he got in foul trouble. When he picked up that fourth foul, they had to pull him out of the game, and then that put what's our smaller guy? I can't the our forward to put him.
Hachimura?
Who?
Hachimura?
Asamoah. Put Asamoah on the Joker. That was a total mismatch. Joker, that's because Joker was like kind of like frustrated that night because AD had him in check. But then when they had to switch up on that and put Asamoah on him, Joker came alive. He started just doing what he does, you know, posting you up, backing you down, getting the little bounce shots and stuff like that. So I think that was one of the turning points. And I heard something on a commentator today is the Joker was frustrated because AD was eating his lunch. They ended up switching Gordon off onto AD. And that threw that AD after he sat down for that period and he came back, he never got his groove back. And so those were two key turning points. But what really killed me where I say coaching just killed me. First of all, the Lakers started playing not to lose. They wasn't playing to lose to win. They were starting playing. They were taking the shot clock all the way down, and then they were throwing up these panic shots. So that was killing me. But what really killed me is when they tied the game up. Denver tied the game up. It was 28 seconds left in the game. You got a 24-second shot clock. You got two timeouts. Coach, call a timeout. Get your players over here and draw something up, but run that clock all the way down. So if you do miss it, that game is going into overtime. LeBron shoots his three with 13 seconds, gave him 13 seconds to go down and set up that last shot to score that basket. So I lay that all the way on the coaches that, you know, they battle back and all that. But at the end, I used to always say when I used to coach, if my players keep me close, then it's on me to try to get that game won. That game came down to coaching, calling a timeout. Hey, we got 24 seconds left in this game. Let's run this clock all the way down, and we're going to take – you've been running it down all other times. Run it all the way down. So if we do miss, they got less than 4 seconds to get this ball down the court to score. So that just messed me all the way up the way it played out. It was three factors, AD getting in foul trouble. But that last – you had two timeouts. Were you going home with two timeouts in your pocket, and you let them get down there to score. So that was that. It just messed me up.
So you're not irritated with LeBron for taking that three with so much time left?
I am, but I'm more irritated with the coach for not calling a timeout. I mean, at a certain point, you got a coach. You should call a timeout and set something up. Because the players are just going, look, LeBron already hit two threes. He's going to use his instinct. He's just playing. You the coach. You got to strategize now. Okay, we're right here. This is the strategy. You got to look at the clock and all of that and call a timeout and then set your players up, get them all on the same page. We're going to run this all the way down, and then we're going to take the last shot, and we'll go into overtime.
Brother James,
LeBron was hot. I mean, he was popping three. So, I mean, I wasn't tripping off and missing a three, but that's a lot, just like Deacon Hill said. You know, you go home with two timeouts. It was coaching. Point blank, the end of it boils down to coaching.
And that foul that they didn't call. D. Russ got hit all in the face, and they're going to revert. They ain't going to. Oh no, there was minimal contact. Minimal contact? What was that?
I was that last 12 seconds where they're just letting Murray run around and figure out where to get in to get that last shot off. Considering you're tied and all you need is a layup or anything, like that was bananas to me. But
they didn't just let him run. They created a mismatch. They ran that high pick and roll, what they always do, and they had to switch off. AD and LeBron had to switch off, which neither one of them really should have been on Murray, because I mean he's faster out on the court than they are. And I mean, but they should have never gave him that much time. So that play should have never even happened.
All right. So from a non-fan perspective, Brother Bill, your thoughts on what we saw last night?
Which game? You talking about both games, or we want to start with Lakers-Denver?
Have to start with the Lakers game.
Okay, Lakers-Denver. It was the type of game that shows two things. The anatomy of, I'll say it, tightening up, and the anatomy of imposing your will when all the chips are down. The Lakers early had control of the game, and they lost it in the third quarter. Even when they were up 20 points, the 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Yes, we've seen double-digit leads evaporate before. So it's not that they had the 20-point lead all the time left, but once Denver got close, then it was all about who was going to execute, and I was typing this in our text, who was going to flinch first. But even leading up to that, here's the three places where I thought the game was decided. LeBron did his thing. AD was doing the thing. He was balling early. They got 7 3-pointers out of D'Angelo Russell. He showed up. But after that, nothing else from the other two starters. You only had, I was looking at this. Austin Reeves, 9 points. Hachimura, 3 points. That's it. And so the others that we talked about, you know, when we were talking Sunday after church, the others had to show up. For Denver, you had, coming off the bench, some guy named Christian Braun, 10 points by himself. That can't happen. And the others showed up, and then you had Aaron Gordon, once again, 14 in double digits, 14 points, rebounding, 45 to 38, rebounding advantage Denver. Turnovers, Lakers had 15 turnovers. That's how you lose a game. And with all of that, Correct. It still came down to the last couple of minutes. But once, and I said this, the as good as the Joker is and the offense goes around him, Jamal Murray is the engine of that team. And once that engine got going, he had only 6 points leading into the fourth quarter. He had 14 in the fourth quarter alone. At some point, you got to say, as coach, you got to know that guy is hot. Just like D'Angelo Russell was rolling, so you got to say, you got to do whatever you need to do to make sure that Jamal Murray doesn't beat you. That LeBron three-pointer that was taken, yes, the coach should have called timeout. You're LeBron James. You're a 21-year veteran. You're going to take a three-pointer when you got the shot clock and the game clock ticking down. You're going to take an early three-pointer when all you need is a layup. He should have been going to the hole on that one. I put that one on LeBron James. And I think that was a hero shot. Sure, he hit two threes early. But when all you need is a two, that can't happen. That's how you lose a game.
Well, we used to have a saying in the military, fatigue makes a coward of us all. So when you're tired, you're going to settle for shots like that. You already seen, look, you already seen LeBron try to drive several times earlier, hitting the floor. Because LeBron can beat you in a, you know, if he can get by you really quick. But if he gets down there and you got defense on, he's not explosive enough to go up and make something happen like that. So the easier shot for him is to settle. They're all tired at that point. That's why your coach got to know. Your coach has to have a heartbeat on his team. Know what the pulse of his team is. And know he has to call a timeout. At least get his – I guess I tell you this. If you to call a timeout, let LeBron catch some energy, get some energy over there on the bench, then I bet you he would have took it to the basket on that. That's where coaching comes in. You have to
know. No one forced him to take that shot, the Greg. I mean, he had the they had plenty of time. He took that shot because, number one, you didn't expect the defender to fall down. So he's like, oh, I'm wide open. So what? That doesn't mean you have to shoot. That doesn't mean you have to, as a three-pointer at the end of the game, the percentages go down. Go to the basket. We always say good things happen when you get into the paint.
We know that. But who's
that's
the coach?
All I'm saying.
What is that coach over there getting paid to do? He's supposed to coach those players. They all need sure. I don't care how great you
he's
are.
He's capable too. But yeah, even after all that, though.
You have to
call
a timeout, and you have to get your rally your troops and get a, and draw up a play. That's what you're supposed to do, coach. Draw up a play to get somebody open or drive to the basket.
Your stars have to play big when lights are brightest. Right. Down the stretch, the Denver Nuggets, they did what they had to do. They showed what a champion has to do in a big game.
But that's also a great point where the stars have to show up, because how many points did AD have in the fourth quarter?
He had 0 points, one shot attempt.
That's not AD.
That's not him not getting the ball. They're not that's them going away from them, going away from him. They didn't keep with what was working for them.
If I'm LeBron James, I'm saying, yo, coach, we got to get AD the ball. I mean, sure, the coach is culpable, but as much credit as LeBron James deservedly gets, there's a point where if you're the captain of that team, if you're the big star, there's time. Magic Johnson would do that with the Lakers. I used to hear about that. He'd tell Riley, yo, Riley, you know, we need to get James Worthy the ball. Yeah, Kareem is our guy, but Worthy is rolling. We got to get Byron Scott more shots because, you know, he's hitting them. As a player, as a star player, as a big, there are times when you just got to say, coach, this is what we need to do to win this thing.
He not to tell the coach nothing. He's on the floor. He can throw the ball to AD. He ain't got to ask.
You're LeBron James. You can do whatever you want.
Hey, coach, can I pass the ball?
He did it at Cleveland. He did it at Cleveland.
No, I'm saying he can make the. He's making the play. He's a playmaker. Why do I got to ask the coach? Can I throw the ball to AD?
No, he shouldn't.
No, he's not. I'm not asking. Just tell him, coach. We need to get AD the ball.
Don't tell him nothing. Just do it.
Even that didn't happen. Because all I'm saying is, with all of that, what we learned about Denver is they have the championship will. I mean, they proved it last year. Last night's game, I mean, game one, they won by – they pulled away like we talked about. But this one, the Lakers, they got tight. They turned the ball over way too many times. I mean, take away half of those turnovers, then it's not even a close game. Even with it being close, they had opportunities to win it, and it just didn't get done. Denver just proved that through two games, they're the better team. They execute better when it matters most. So we'll see what happens in game three.
And like you said, the series starts when the road team wins on the road. When the team wins on the road, And like you pull up those stats about to get those bench players. We know that role players play better at home, so we'll see what the role players do when they go to LA, and we'll see what the Lakers players do. But you know, that was the Lakers had no excuse to lose that game. But I'm landing on at least I'd have took that game to overtime. We're taking it to overtime.
That's what I was saying. I was banking on overtime. I didn't expect the Lakers to, I don't say fold, but they made poor decisions down the stretch. And I just didn't expect that.
Well, they play at one speed. And like I say, they don't like Denver, they have a go-to play. They have a go-to play. They run that high pick and roll with Murray and the Joker, and that's their go-to play. You're saying that Murray got hot? No, he just kept doing – they kept doing what they do all the time to it start working.
Finally, all of a sudden, they started taking threes at the wrong time. Threes in the fourth quarter, to me, is fool's gold.
Exactly. They've been taking threes the whole game.
We're on the road in the playoff.
That's when you call that timeout. You don't let them play like that no more, coach. You say, hey, we got to draw something up. We're not going to do that.
Game three, I expect the Lakers to win in game three, but here's a problem. We've seen it through two games now. They can have leads at any point in the game, and Denver's just going to do what they do. They know how to stay in a game and come back and win. So if somehow Denver pulls out game three, have your broom ready on Saturday.
So if they win, that would be 11 wins in a row against LA,
right, which
is bananas, considering LA's not a trash team. LA's got two of the best players in the NBA on. I mean, granted, it's two and it's a bunch of nobodies, but they have two of the best players in the NBA, and 10 in a row is insane.
It's the style of play. And this is when team basketball, remember when San Antonio Spurs were winning those championships? I mean, sure, they had Tim Duncan, you know, they had Tony Parker, they had Manu Ginobili, they had Robert Horry, but as a team,
they had a squad.
They had a squad. Denver has a squad. Okay,
but yes, no one is debating Denver's talent. Okay, the issue last night was just like y'all said, you said it. We stopped doing what was working. Point blank. That is it. Okay, so now, do we learn from that in game three? Do continue with what's working? Because that pick and roll with LeBron and AD, they couldn't stop it. I'm sorry, they couldn't. And yep, they still won't be able to stop it.
Right.
Okay? And then it opens up for open looks on three-pointers and all those other things because the defense collapsed trying to make sure the AD doesn't do it. So that's what they need to be doing. Once you get a lead, you know, you need to be smart as a coach and say, okay, no more threes.
Well, here's if they even have a lead.
Let's take it to the hole. Let's get people in foul trouble at this point.
AD has to stay out of foul trouble. He cannot get in foul trouble.
I mean, like, yes, he does, but man, what he has to do in order to stop who he has to stop.
Exactly.
It's so hard.
But you have to be smart. Okay, do you want to give up a two-pointer or do you want to get fouled out of the game?
You're right, Deacon Hill. Give up the bucket. Yeah, there's a point where fouls are more important than just, you know, 2 points. Agreed. Because you only get six fouls and you're out. 2 points, you can make that up.
Exactly.
Agreed. The other thing
and then a couple of those fouls wasn't even a foul on AD.
That's going to happen in every game. There's going to be some calls that the refs get right and some they get wrong. But they got to fix that rebound. I'm telling you, if they lose that rebounded edge and they have more turnovers, it's a wrap. They got to fix those things.
I agree.
Bill, you talking very educated tonight. I want to thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, my brother.
No.
Hey, Greg told me I just need to be who I am, so I'm trying.
You know, because, you know, normally you just be talking a lot of hatery coming out your mouth.
There comes that backhanded compliment once again. That's okay. That's okay. I see you.
Hey, no, even with my Lakers losing like that, the New York game was even worse.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that. Okay, yeah.
I don't know. But I woke up, man, I was so hot last night. It was pure. I mean, I was through. I didn't even sleep good. And then I woke up this morning, I was still pissed.
So real quick about the that Philly Knicks game. I don't know the last time I've seen two playoff games, a doubleheader like that. And they were talking about it on Inside the NBA, talked about it in First Take this morning. Awesome. I mean, did Philly choke or did the Knicks steal it?
Philly choked.
And both things can happen. That is all there is to it. They couldn't
five
get
points
the
in 27 seconds. 5 points in 27 seconds.
And sloppy 5 points. Those 5 points were crazy 5 points, too. They're just grabbing the ball. That was nuts.
That first three-pointer that, what's his name, gets the point guard for the Knicks.
Bronson.
When it bounced. Bronson, yeah. That was that. Okay, lightning struck, lucky bounce. Inbound, your people. Forget inbound. Coach, call a timeout. Advance it to half court, because then the worst thing that can happen, even if you can't, or there's a turnover, the time is going to run out. So I put that squarely on Nick Nurse, because once again, you were saying, Deacon Hill, when you got a timeout at the end of the game, you can't take it with you. Call the timeout, advance it to half court. You have a better chance of trying to inbound from half court than you do on the sideline. From the baseline.
And I agree with you, Bill, but ever since elementary school, they teach that inbound guy. If you can't get the ball in, you call the timeout.
Correct. Agreed. Yeah. And that was Kyle Lowry.
They almost got 5 seconds. They almost got a 5 seconds. He's running around, looking around. He can't even get the ball in, and then he tried to force it in. He should have called the timeout.
They say at three, if it's not in, timeout right away. You're right. You're right. So, and the Knicks, to their credit, took it. I expect Philly to come back in either – If not game three, then it's a wrap. But I mean, that game to me, Philly has a better chance in the series to come back than, I hate to say, than the Lakers do, just because of who they're playing. They're playing Denver. They're playing
Embiid is not a big game guy. The guy that he gets, for considering he's a giant, the dude has like three rebounds a game. How is that even possible?
But look, he's playing on one leg. You got to realize he can't even move.
Legs. He's 7 feet tall, 350 pounds.
Right now, that's what he couldn't even get rebounds. They were getting that. That's how they were getting all their rebounds. And B can all he could do. That's why that mid range jump shot was the only thing keeping him in the game and keeping them in the game. He was hitting that shot. Other than that, he wasn't going to the basket, and he's not rebounding.
And don't give him the ball. Don't give him the three shot at the end of the game. That's not.
But he's hurt, y'all.
Yeah,
exactly. He's playing hurt.
Philly has to make game three. They need to get something out of Harris. Maxey was balling. He had 30. I don't know. Last time I saw Maxey with 35.
Which is why. Why did Maxey pass the ball to him to shoot the final three?
No idea. Agreed.
I'm watching.
So Kyle Lowry, Harris, Tobias Harris, and Maxey, they gotta pick up the slack. And maybe they'll get something from their bench. They got Batum, they got Reed. So as a team, Philly, they're just gonna have to figure it out. But at least they're going back home. That's the only thing they have going for them.
Just like the Lakers.
Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Home team. All right.
Thank
you. So shifting from basketball, and I'm actually really interested in the game right now, the Clippers Mavericks, because I did not expect the Mavericks to get murdered like the last game. So I'm expecting them to come out hot, and they're not coming out as hot as I thought they were going to. And Indiana's up on Milwaukee, so the first couple games are, I know they don't really count, so why you do 7-game series, but it's pretty wild. So obviously a lot going on in basketball, but the NFL draft is coming up on Thursday, and we have some needs. Raiders have quite a few needs. I'm just saying. I mean, hopefully you guys have 51 draft picks this year, because you guys need 51 good players. But you got two really good ones. Brother James, hey, I'm going to start.
Time out.
What?
Who won the Super Bowl this year?
Ooh, we're doing that?
No,
AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs, that too. In overtime.
Didn't the Raiders beat the Chiefs?
Regular season don't matter. Why are we doing this? What are we doing?
We need 51 players. You talking about we need 51 players. Y'all need 51 coaches.
I think the team that won the Super Bowl is the team that has the most wins in Allegiant Stadium. I'm pretty sure. That might be true.
I know the team that didn't get one.
Yeah.
In fact, there's another team who also went into Allegiant Stadium and won, but we won't talk about that team.
All right. Yeah. Let's back to the draft, please.
Okay. Brother James, I'm going to start with you. Is there a player you want or a position you want to see drafted that you think is going to be like that's the most important thing that you guys need? Because you guys did pick up, you guys have an amazing wide receiver. You have Crosby. You picked up you have a couple quarterbacks. Is there a position you're like, man, please draft this on Thursday?
I think we do need to think about real hard about a quarterback for long term. With the things that we have in place now, we could probably wait to next year for a quarterback, but I would say get a quarterback this year. Just so you can start grooming. Because we got to start thinking the long game. See, the problem I think a lot of times is we're thinking short game. We have a squad. Don't get it twisted. Our defense is going to be off the chain this year.
So saying that, do you want just in general, do you want more of a focus on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think we need to focus more on the offense in the draft and maybe pick up one defensive player. But I mean, I think we need a free safety that's just a beast.
All right.
But focus on the offense.
Deacon Hill, what do you want to see happen on Thursday?
Well, I was just hearing something right now that they're in talks with the Washington, whoever they are, Commanders.
Really? For the two?
For the number two spot. The Raiders are talking to them right now. I just read that. So if they do that, they're moving up to get a quarterback. So, and I'd love to whoever's at the number two quarterback off the board. I think the guy out of SC is going number one. I like that Jaden Daniels from LSU.
Why do you like him so much?
He's just explosive, and he kind of reminds me of Burrow a little bit with the way he plays with a lot of confidence, and he could get the ball down. He could throw the ball down the field, and he's mobile, just like all the court. We've got to have a mobile quarterback. So, and I like his attitude, and I like the way he plays. So,
you're not worried he's too small?
No,
Okay.
And then but if they don't do that,
they said Steph Curry was too small too.
The basketball, man.
Yeah, different sport. Come on, man.
If we stay pat at 13, I'm looking at an offensive lineman. We need to shore up the offensive line a little bit. So I'm looking at getting a tackle or a guard on the offense. And
you guys didn't sign your running back long term, did you?
No.
Okay.
We promoted our one that came in and balled for us and stuff. So,
man, if you guys. Washington, I think Washington would be crazy. I bet you that's just leverage. So then Patriots, because Washington needs a quarterback too. Why in the world would Washington give up that? I bet you that's leverage talk. They're trying to get something else.
Well, no, you don't know what else that's going to be in that package deal because just one.
Davante Adams?
No, that ain't going to be in the deal. But Washington is more than a quarterback away. So they might be looking, trying to stack something. They're more than a quarterback away. So.
Man, that would be. That'd be wild.
That'd be great.
James, you're on mute. What were you saying?
I said they probably try to get some future picks.
Yeah, because they know they'll be able to have high draft picks the next year if they trade with the Raiders, which is
here we go.
Smart. I'm just saying, for strategy, right? We're just talking strategy.
They were talking about that on Sports Radio today, and the Washington Commanders, when you need a quarterback and you see there's a quarterback that could work for you, remember the Houston Texans. Who did they draft a quarterback?
Yes, yes.
What did he do?
Killed it last year.
When you have an opportunity to get a quarterback and you need a quarterback, get the doggone quarterback because...
Don't compare Washington to Houston. Houston had
my point is when you have a need and you see an opportunity to fill the need. Get your quarterback taken care of first, yeah, if you have an opportunity to get one when you need one. That's all
I think. That would be bananas if they trade. I mean, them or the Patriots to me would be bananas to trade away those picks because granted, you don't know who's going to hit and who's not going to hit, but four or five draftable quarterbacks and you're picking two and three, you're going to get somebody pretty good.
Hopefully. I mean, the Patriots need 51 players.
They need 53 players. I don't know what the 51, their whole roster sucks.
Yeah, they have they're no longer the kings of the AFC East, so may be irrelevant for a while.
Yeah, but so what I've heard also though is they may have to draft a quarterback just because their PR has been so bad, because the Krafts dumped so hard on Belichick since he's been let go that they're actually turning the fan base against the ownership, because Belichick brought home all those rings and stuff. And yeah, he's a grumpy old dude, but he was just absolutely crushing the NFL for 20 years. So
have they named the coach to replace Belichick yet? I don't even remember hearing.
They got like one in-house, one of the coordinators.
Okay. All right.
But even that guy, he's only been a coach for like 5 years. I don't know. Brother Bill, we only got a few minutes left. Who do you want, or what positions, or who do you want to see the Niners address? But first, should we trade Ayuk to get more picks?
That's a tough. I didn't expect that question. I would not trade him to get more picks, only because if you can sign him, even if he starts the season without a new contract, you receivers like that, as well as he worked with the Niners again, because you're trading picks, but you don't know what's going to happen with those picks.
100%.
You know what you have with IU. So if anything, you try to get the deal done.
It's like 30 plus.
If there's a way with the math to make it work, then you make it work. That's all I'm saying. If it can't, I mean, if he's just going to want too much and you just can't do the deal, then you deal with that when it comes. But I would say make that your last resort, not your first resort, thinking it's going to trade him to get picks, and then you don't even know what's going to happen with those picks when you get them. And then you're going to need a WR1 receiver, because he was it. Right? Sure. It wasn't Debo. Ayuk was the wide receiver number one. So then you got to figure out how you're going to replace him.
Yeah. Okay, so
blow up the whole team, they're garbage.
Oh my God.
And then in terms of what you need to do, what we need to do to win the Super Bowl the next couple of years, right? Because that the window's gotten smaller. Losing Eric Armstead, you gotta fill that position, defensive line. I think we still need another offensive lineman, because you don't know how long we're gonna have Trent Williams at left tackle. We need a safety. Not sure what's going to happen with free safety. What's the name who got hurt about the ACL last year when he comes back. So I would say more of our needs are on defense than they are on offense. But if we can address those positions, another offensive lineman, one or two offensive linemen, and then on the defense, D-line, and a secondary, more likely a safety.
All right. Yeah, and we're picking so far back. It's like I'm assuming most of those great ones will be gone, and it's just a matter of, are we able to pick out good ones, in the second round and stuff. I don't know. Yeah,
You got the quarterback.
Dude, have you seen him working out?
Who's that?
That dude is strong. Purdy.
No, I haven't.
Like, he looks like a little dude. He is freaking strong.
What is he doing? Picking up two footballs at one time?
Bro, he's curling like 120s. He's just sitting in the chair curling 120s. He squats with Bosa. All right, guys. So a huge week this week. We got the draft, which could change the fortunes of hopefully the Raiders, because they need him. We don't need our fortunes changed. We're doing just fine. What I mean is good luck.
Yeah. We want the Raiders to be competitive when they come to Levi's in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be competitive.
Yeah. At least show up.
Oh, guys. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Show up. Because then I'll be bored. Billy's going to say, Dad, we might as well go because the Niners are blowing them out. What are we going to do now?
We're leaving the first
quarter. Here we go.
So,
we still play basketball.
And I will say, the only reason I am truly, truly going against the Lakers in this series is because I want to see Deacon Hill bring a broom on this show. He said he would do it, and man.
I will bring a broom, but my wife said I can't break it over my head.
I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a new one.
No, it ain't the broom.
I want to see the Bo Jackson,
It ain't the broom I'm worried about.
It's your head? All right. Fair. That's, you put it that way, that's fair enough. But
we're not gonna get swept anyway. So
I don't think so either. Not the way you guys played the last game. And the ending was so brutal. you guys are going to be on an absolute mission at home.
It goes both ways. Because you think Jamal Murray is going to only have 6 points in the first three quarters? I'm telling you.
Bill, just put a zipper on it.
I'm just saying, man, I said how important game two was to make it a series.
See, James, I told you don't compliment him. I told what I.
I'm gonna go. I gotta go anyway.
I told you.
I expected to see another barn burn, but all I'm saying is,
peace out.
You can't come out flat.
Right. Okay. Wrap time. Good luck to the Lakers. Kind of. Hope everybody has a good draft and everything. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. All right.